Several weeks ago, and I don't remember how long, I spoke a little bit about what is called the Babylonian exile. And I'd like to just go into it again briefly as a reminder so that we can understand the first reading. The Babylonian exile was a time about more or less 600 years before the birth of Christ. And what had happened is the king of Babylon, in three different waves, in a sense, came to Jerusalem and took back to Babylon some of the leading people. He took the religious leaders. He then took the king and his family. And finally, he took the leading craftsmen and artisans of the people. And in the process, the city of Jerusalem was totally destroyed. The temple was burnt. The king's palace was burnt. The homes were burnt. The city walls were torn down. It was left ruins. Now, that time in Babylon lasted about 50 years. And at the end of 50 years, there was a change of political power. And the new king, kind of understanding that he would probably have more peace if he could keep everybody happy, sent them back to Jerusalem. And not only did he send them back or let them go back, he even offered them financial help so that they could rebuild the temple and rebuild the city. This passage from Isaiah this morning that Carol read for us, that rejoice, that comes from Isaiah saying to the people, rejoice. You are returning to the city of your God. You are returning to the place where God has made his dwelling place among us. You ought to be a people filled with joy. Of course, we know that that did not meet all their expectations. It did not meet all their needs. They were still a dominated people. They were still living under foreign control, foreign powers. They were still a people that were longing for and waiting for the day that God would fulfill his promise to send a Messiah. And of course, in their terms, they thought Messiah would be a great political leader. He would conquer their enemies, and then he would establish a kingdom that would last forever. Now let's go to the gospel reading, because remember, the church always puts the first reading and the gospel reading as somehow relating to each other. And it's not as easy to see this morning. But what Jesus is doing in that gospel reading is he is sending out his disciples to proclaim that the kingdom of God is at hand. What the Jewish people had been longing for 1,000 years, Jesus is now proclaiming that that kingdom is at hand. And the kingdom comes in the very person of Jesus himself. It is he who is the one who establishes that kingdom, but not with military might, not with political power, but through obedience to the will of God. He gives himself fully in obedience. He offers his life totally on the cross and then is raised to new life. And in that new life, he begins to gather men and women of a race and nation to himself. And that when we can live with him in our lives and us in his life, where that happens, the kingdom of God is at hand. Luke does an interesting thing in that gospel passage. In the other gospels, when it talks about Jesus sending out someone to preach, it is the 12. It's the apostles. Here it's not. Luke is looking beyond the immediate time. He is looking into the time of the church. The time when the disciples, everyone who believes in Christ Jesus, becomes responsible for the proclamation of the reign of God. He's looking to our own time, in a sense. And he's saying that everyone who has been baptized, everyone who believes in Christ Jesus must somehow carry the responsibility of proclaiming to the world the good news that we have found the Savior in Jesus our Lord. And you notice in that gospel too, there is that concept of rejoicing. He says, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. What humanity has hoped for is present in the person of Jesus Christ. But it falls to you and I, it falls to everyone who believes, to become somehow responsible that that kingdom is made known. We do that in many ways, but above all, we do it by living as Jesus has taught us to live. We do it by coming to know Jesus as our Lord and our Savior and letting that power transform our lives. You know, Jesus didn't come to give us a new set of rules. You know, a new set of rules would not change anything because we're very good at ignoring them. We're very good at disobeying them. What Jesus did come to do was to reveal to us the love of God. He came to show us the depth of God's love and God's mercy and how God has reached out to us through Jesus, His Son, and wants to offer us a life that will last forever. The more deeply we can come to know the reality of that love, the more deeply we can let that penetrate into our very beings, the more desire we will have to make Christ known to others. But it is that love, it is the awareness of that love and mercy that is meant to be the power that touches our lives and enables us to go out and proclaim Christ to others. Think more than anything, that is the message today. We have been sent to make Christ known, but we do that to the extent that we let that love become a reality in our lives. And as we know how much we have been loved and how deeply we have been forgiven, how much we have been touched by the mercy of God, then in our joy, we bring that to others. Because we want them too to know the depth of God's love, the depth of God's mercy.